Is everybody back? Everybody back?
Yep, yep. Coming.
Yes.
Good.
Jane's here.
Hi, Jane.
Good to be here.
Scott and Shara and Caroline and Tammy and Kristen and Noah, and that's all I've managed to write down.
Martha.
Mark McCaffrey.
Hi, Mark.
Martha.
Hey, Martha. Okay, well, are there any announcements that people would like to share with anybody, or any questions people have that you'd like feedback on?
Well, I wanted to just make sure people got that announcement that we might be getting some money to do some meaningful science and environmental education.
Okay. Great. You want to describe it a bit?
I forwarded the email just earlier today. I just got it from the list of many of you also belong to. I think Mark does, right, Mark? You cross over? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? McCaffrey, you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's a meeting next door. It's a little loud, so I'm on mute.
Okay.
Sorry.
Where is the funding coming from?
ISEA. The hang on, let me get the email up for you. Excuse me, right? We're trying to do too much. Okay, so it came from Susan from the ICEE at Colorado, and it's about that's a species shift. Man, I've been busy forwarding stuff today, haven't I? So this one was about. Maybe I didn't send it to you. I sent it to the Botanic Garden World. I'm sorry. It's the Senate Committee on Health and Education. HELP.
Yeah.
Has put out some Elementary and Secondary Education Act that seems to be getting some traction in Congress, which is a step in the direction, according to Harkin and other senators, of getting some serious environmental literacy carved into the curriculum planning for. Should I send this out to you or I better right now?
It's quite important.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very important. It's good news we all could use.
Yes.
Is this the new No Child Left Inside legislation?
Yes. Yes.
Oh. Yes, exactly. Left Behind, actually. It's the Elementary and Secondary Education Act.
ISEA, correct.
Yeah, all 860 pages apparently is how long it is.
Well, and I just sent you the link so that you can... keep updated on that. So I just wanted to get that up because we need some good news.
Yeah, that's good news.
Thanks. So I just want to, I don't know how many people are going to the AGU meeting, but we will have a group of five separate sessions around climate literacy. One session is focused on undergraduate level, one is focused on K-12 level. One is around making an impact. One is on informal science. One is on research. Is that all of them? I don't remember. But they cover a very wide range of topics. So, and they're going to be the first 3 days of the AGU meeting, December 5th, 6th, and 7th.
Thanks.
Okay, are there any other announcements? Well, if not, then I will introduce our speaker, Caroline Lewis, who you've already been hearing from, is going to give our talk today. She is an education strategist and consultant who builds and promotes innovative and inspiring leadership in individual institutions around the issues of climate change. She's the founder and director of the CLIO Institute, which is Creative Learning and Engagement Opportunities. And I believe that is the project that she's going to be talking to us today. Caroline has been a teacher, a science teacher, and a principal at various schools, and has been on the staff of the Fairchild Tropical Botanical Garden. And so, Caroline, I will turn it over to you to inform us more about the CLIO Institute.
Thank you so much. This is a good opportunity for me because I'm literally launching it today. So you'll attract this audience for me. I do come from a world of 22 years in the classroom and in schools, mostly high schools, all the way up to school principal, and then the informal world of public gardens. And I spent 8 years at Fairchild, and helped create the Fairchild, well, I created the Fairchild Challenge and grew it to 100,000 kids annually engaged in South Florida every year. So in doing that, and I did present on that model about a year ago, I did see the value of engagement models that really cast a very wide net. And I am really intrigued by the ability of these wide net, not so deep necessarily, programs, really public engagement models that serve to create more diverse, attentive audience for the rich K-12, K-16 curriculums we're all creating. So I see my role as just throwing the wide net out and hoping that many of them get engaged to want to learn more through all these other vehicles that are being so well thought out by people like you. So I'm a bit messy, and I have found that I am not an easy person or style to take for people, especially some research scientists who like things all tidied up with the plan clearly articulated and the measurable outcomes. And I'm much more of a work in progress, and I kind of use formative evaluation very heavily to build an inclusive team to frame, reframe, and expand what I'm doing. The Fairchild Challenge was, I created that while my boss was away, and I did not ask for permission. I just went ahead and did it, and then spent the year just sort of watching the excitement build, while the excitement was building. So I'm trying to, in my twilight of my career, create a strategy for people to come up with these engagement models in their communities that seem to work. So the CLEO project, and if you haven't downloaded the slides, please do so. I'll try and go through them. I'm not going to read them, but it's very text dense right now because I don't have a whole ton of nice images yet, so we'll get there. So the idea is to engage a broader audience. And if you look at the first slide, the CLEO Institute is a nonprofit, and it is a little outfit with a big dream. And the dream is to scale up all the programs and models that are truly transformative and scalable and replicable, like the Fairchild Challenge. So I continue to feed that for people looking to engage their schools and communities in different cities. So the second slide, in listening to the climate science world for the past year and a half, I see a big need to amplify the conversation and to get people to find their voice and share their voice. Third slide, I look at engaging broader audiences from these philosophies, these big picture things that I just wanted to review with you. You know, when Jane Goodall in 2002 wrote that the greatest danger to our future is apathy, I was inspired. That's the month I left schools and moved to the garden world, I read that article, and it inspired me. I said, I'm going to combat apathy. That's my job. So how do you combat apathy is you try to find engagement opportunities that promote, provoke, and celebrate your audience that you're targeting, to celebrate their engagement. So I'm looking at Jane Goodall constantly, and that whole conquering apathy is what fuels me. I also love William Butler Yeats' definition of education, and I tend to begin and end all speeches with that, but you know, his statement is simply, education is not the filling of a pail, it is the lighting of a fire. And so that little statement, you know, I'm a little bit of an arsonist, I do tend to like to find ways to light fires in people, and it does trigger me. So I have internalized, over the past 10 years, I have internalized my role, and I'm the Lewis on that sign, as opportunities to engage. You know, when people tell me, oh, they don't care, you cannot get university kids to do this, you can't get high school. And I am like, well, what have you done to create an opportunity to engage them so they care? So I'm very interested in truly meeting people where they are, not just saying that, but understanding how to get them to want to play in your, you know, sandbox. And, you know, with the Fairchild Challenge, giving them a chance to do rap and poetry and debate and design and invention, and then showcasing them, it fed their egos and their platforms. And so I look at some of that extrinsic motivation as a little incentive to get them to be completely intrinsically motivated down the road. And it happens more often than you realize, I think. And then Wiggins kind of framed my thinking on education, where you always start with your desired end in mind. It's common knowledge that those who really want to effect change say, what are you trying to accomplish? So that slide there, the why and the how, is just my philosophy on coming up with these engagement models. Next slide, number 4. In asking myself, what are the current barriers for engaging the broad public? And I'm not talking about teachers and students and attentive audience that come and take our classes. I'm talking about my mother, my sisters, my siblings, my colleagues, my husband, my teenage daughters. I would say that because of me, or in spite of me, they all believe in climate change right now. There's not a denier among them because I just don't even want to hear it. So they pretend to get it, or they do get it. But the problem is they can't articulate it. So they do not own the question. So I went to this training. I'm on the next slide now, slide number 5. A local climate scientist, Hal Wanless, is spending his twilight years. He's the dean of the geology department at the University of Miami, and he's a Cooper. He got a little award, a Cooper Fellows Award, and used it to create his Empowering Capable Climate Communicators workshop, which was 4 full-day Saturdays for about 60 members of the Miami and South Florida public, college professors, climate scientists, educators, some students, and then people like me trying to figure it out. And this man just completely inspired me in the most unassuming way to amplify the conversation. And he's on the board of directors of the Clio Institute, as is the retired county commissioner, Katie Sorensen, who now runs the Good Government Initiative in Miami to get ethics into governance. Good luck. And, I have a small but mighty board. I have Kara Horowitz from the UCLA School of Law. She's the founding dean of the Emmett Center on Climate Change at the School of Law at UCLA. And so I've got some big hitters who really want to see the conversation amplified. And then the next slide, slide number 6, I mean, it's not even a question anymore. When the Berkeley graph came out, it seemed even worse than the NASA and NOAA ones. We are not entertaining the CLEO project a whole lot in convincing people that this is real. We're more concerned with having people articulate it. So slide number 7 is where I'm going to start talking about this CLEO project. So what it actually is, if it works, it's a 3-year project that really never ends. So they're going to get my focused energy for 3 years, and then a lot of what we create will be self-perpetuating. It will become routinized into annual things. You know, I'm an optimist, so I'm telling you where I see it going, but we never know. So the big question, the whole project is centered around that 2-part question: what's climate change all about and what's my role? And it aims to get 100,000 people in South Florida owning that question on a very short response level, and then inviting some of them who are interested to train to be much more profound engagement facilitators or task force members. So here's how the CLEO project is laid out. Slide number 8. Hal and I are leading it and coming up with the protocols and so on. And we're going to have this separate training for the level 2 folk, the task force. But initially, we're getting tons of people signing up to CLEO project participants, and you'll know what that means in a minute. We have a small staff and tremendous interns. We have a pretty intense and growing youth task force of high school and college age kids that are self-identified from various schools and colleges in South Florida. An adult task force that's a nice potpourri of business, industry, and lay people and environmental advocates. And then a volunteer corps, and we're recruiting the partners, supporters, and donors. The partners are identifying before we even recruit. So we had Vizcaya Museum sign up. We have maybe all the gardens, museums, and schools and colleges in the area are very interested. So I'm behind the eight ball trying to tell them what it means to be interested. So slide number 9 is the booklet that's online that describes what the CLIO project is, why it was created, the rationale for it, the support we're trying to get behind it, and what the sustaining events will be, the 6 initiatives we hope that will outlive 2014. And I'll get to that in a minute. So that picture, slide number 9, is just to let you know that if you go onto the website and click through that, there are about 10 pages of text and images that sort of give the genesis for the project, not so much the what are the first steps, second steps, third steps. That's on the main page of the website. So when I pitch this, or when I talk to people about this, I'm on slide number 10 now, I talk about where I see the biggest growth and the biggest good news in climate change happening, and it's through people like you all and the National Academies and NASA and NOAA and NSF with the research communication networks, and I've been a part of a few of them. I kind of like how that's getting us to think outside the box. And so my general feeling is that the K-16 curriculum resources is a growing and robust collection. The rapid response teams that I have used with tremendous success are there and ready to help. And we have a plethora of bloggers and videographers and photographers and forums. One of the local artists in Miami just found out about this last week and has been emailing me. His name is Javier Cortada, and he is an eco-artist whose website itself is worth looking at for his local and global look at climate change as an artist. So that's where I think we're strong, and I think we're weaker than we should be with the engagement of public individuals being able to talk about this. I've also been informed, slide number 11, by the work of Mark Hickson at Oregon State, when he identified, well, a lot of people have done this, but I like his models, when he talked about accelerating society's response. And you might have seen this already, I might have used these, but the slide number 12, that's kind of what my brain looks like, with all of these synergies overlapping, and that learning and engagement is much more of a web process that you can access from anywhere, and not so much of a ladder where you have to learn this before you know this. You know, it's very iterative the way I think people engage on climate change or can engage. And I love that Venn diagram because I kind of move around that Venn diagram. I spend time in each of the little bubbles, but I gravitate to the middle more often than not, and that's what I'm trying to create. You know, he also showed us the
reality.
That's
powerful.
Isn't that powerful?
Very powerful.
Yes, it speaks to me, you know. Well, what speaks to me, too, is slide number 13, that here we are trying to engage a population in the United States, all 250 million of us, and in the whole world, and, you know, this Occupy Wall Street 99%, 1% thing tells a story of this pyramid. I mean, when you're trying to get people who don't have food or clothing or shelter to care about their role in climate change, you know, you might be barking up the wrong tree at that moment in time. So you have to be realistic in when you cast this net, who's going to come play and what it would take to get them engaged and feel a little bit empowered. So I'm about that sensitivity and receptivity of the learner as I create and embellish these programs. And then slide number 14, I think all of us should open our presentations with that one. I got it from Hickson, too. And it's the practical challenge. And if you think about that, I mean, I'm on the first step. I'm trying to get people to pay attention to the message, you know? I'm trying to get more people to pay attention to the message. A lot of the work we're doing is happening in the middle way, trying to get them to comprehend it, believe it, remember it, and so on. But my goal for the CLIO project is to get so many people doing that the number of people at the different rungs up there is escalated. So I kind of like that slide because it says, you know, if you don't get them to pay attention, you don't even have a prayer of action or inaction anyway. It's more commonplace. And so slide number 15 is a little comic relief, which I don't fully believe, but some people do. It just says we have work to do. When you think about the focus of life today, and I mean, my daughters are 19 and 20, and they are just delightful and lovable once more. But in their heyday as teenagers, I mean, there was a complete disengagement that was hard to break through. And I think we need to be aware of the indoor electronic sedentary world these kids are in and what really moves them with the social media and play with it as much as you can. So slide number 16, I think we're all familiar with the work coming out of Yale and George Mason on Six Americas, and I do use this when I speak because I want to get everybody in the discussion and to try to create something that suits a specific audience is not within my plan or my budget. So we're hoping that we have such diverse access points to the CLIO project question that we could get people engaging. And we have pledged to have one science cafe to specifically answer questions to clarify doubt in people's mind. But the rest of it is pretty much, here are the facts, what could you use to tell it your way? Then slide number 18, it really makes you think about what people want to know about climate change. And really, we're hoping that they can answer all of these questions themselves, because the last thing I think we need is another to-do list, you know, of a prescription of what people should do and how they should do it and what we should tell them. So I'm turning it around. So when I come out of these climate literacy immersions that I've been to and the one last October on the roundtables, the National Academies one, just kind of ripped my eyes open, and that's when Anthony revealed this Six Americas study. He's since released a teenage one, very enlightening too. But slide number 19, the overarching messages that I picked up is that knowledge alone doesn't change behavior. And my takeaway message was we need more public engagement models. So as a result of talking to you all and attending these conferences and giving these speeches, I've created this CLIO project to get the whole South Florida community to take this question on. So slide number 20 just reframes what the CLIO project is, and now I'm going to try and explain how I hope it rolls out. Any questions so far? All right. So, slide number 21. We're trying to get people to sign up to be CLIO project participants. Then we want to invite them to be task force members, and anyone along the way can be a supporter, a partner, a donor, a volunteer, host an event, or whatever.
Caroline, are all of these individual people or are they organizations?
Both. So I'm just going to start with the CLIO project participants since we're going to have 100,000. They're going to be signing up individually or in groups as an organization. So if you go to slide 22, phase one is when we say to these individuals and groups, we're going to help you, give you resources, and showcase your personal responses to this question. Now, the slides coming up has what we're going to be asking of them, so if you're getting ahead of yourself, it'll get clearer. So phase one, for example, I have schools signing up. So I have a private school in our area that has a high school of 500 kids, and I said if they could come up with their three-minute or three-page answer to this and give me a date, we will come and collect them there. So they can give it to us in writing, on video, or a live performance. So they signed up 335 kids for January 16th. So I have a little team going there to collect 250 in writing, 50 on DVDs, and 10 live performances. I have a Wells Fargo group, bankers. 35 of the staff have taken on this project question, so they're signing up as CLIO project participants. And they're going to give me their date and how many would be live, because I can't have more than five or six live because I can't spend more than an hour at the site to have them. Plus, I have a whole team of scientists and educators training to be the ones viewing these things. So Bank of America found out that Wells Fargo was doing this, and now Bank of America is signing up their people. And all they're really getting out of this is prestige and fame and acknowledgement. So again, we're throwing a party around the topic and telling them their opinion matters, give us their opinion. But let me just kind of go through this a little bit more before I give you some of the details of what we're asking them to do. So anybody who successfully passes phase one, because nobody fails, you get a pass or you get a redo if we're not satisfied with your response. So they can start training for phase two to be a task force member, and those are going to be required to host or co-host at least 5 forums, large or small. So we're building the capacity then to have some of the phase one people do that. So phase two could start as soon as anybody from phase one is ready. So they're not rungs of a ladder for the whole project. They're rungs of a ladder for an individual. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And then phase three is when we pull everything together for a CLEO Project Symposium and TEDx Conference in 2014. So we're going to be spending 3 years talking, laughing, being creative, having science cafes and forums and movie nights and workshops and eco-art showcases and a million things to support people finding their voices on this. And we're going to be culling the best of these for that phase three TEDx conference and symposium. It's going to be interdisciplinary and intergenerational, and I think it's going to be wicked. And, you know, we're trying to line up some brilliant speakers and so on for that day, but we want it to be largely a showcase of what's been happening for the 3 years here and the best of them. So in the booklet, I'm on slide 23 now. In the booklet, we talked about the supporting initiatives of the CLEO Project, the things that will outlive the CLEO Project. We're starting to create a leadership forum on climate change in colleges. And we're going to have, we targeted when to get these done. So this year, 1, 2, 3 is the plan, but it could change. College leadership forums are college students and professors, college student leaders and professors engaging in a day-long conference on the campus on what they are doing to address climate change across disciplines. Everything from what deep curriculum they're using to what surface curriculum enhancers they have, from what the language arts and the humanities teachers are doing to what the science and the fine arts people are doing. So it's going to be very interdisciplinary. And 2 climate scientists at Florida International University and University of Miami are going to be the first ones out the door planning these in the name of the CLEO Project. So everybody who attends this is also going to be encouraged to take on the project question. The Human Footprint Contest, we're doing the public service announcements, we're doing bumper stickers, and we're doing poster contests. And we're working on the prizes for that. For example, one of the prizes is $1,000 worth of native plants for the Human Footprint Communication Contest. So we have like churches and synagogues who want to win that now. So they're putting teams together to try and come up with their ideas for bumper stickers. So,
nice.
Movie and discussion meetings, that's already happening, but we just want to give it a frame over the CLEO Project, and the CLEO Youth Task Force want to lead discussions afterwards and see if the audience wants to lobby around one particular cause. You know, they think that leaving without a goal that they could jump onto wouldn't make sense, and they're big on white roofs lately, so it's a good thing. If you can afford a white roof, get one on, and next time you have to re-roof, get one, and get the government to give us incentives for white roofs, and get the roof makers to make more. So it's a good plan, and I'm encouraging them to find a platform they want to engage, but I'm also teaching them about inclusive styles. So this whole initiative is going to teach people some science that they can address themselves, and communication strategies to make them safe in creating, or safe as possible, in creating, you know, forums and speaking spaces and so on. We're also going to do what we're doing at the college level with middle school and high school students. So that's Initiative D. And rather than have another club in high school, which the teachers just didn't want to hear about, we're going to use the student government leaders. Every high school has these kids running for student government and getting elected and then doing nothing. And the same at middle school. So they have become mine. So they now have a CLEO Project task to take on for their schools and to help form this forum. And I got this idea because this local private school asked me to help their 11th grade kids find their soul. And I went to the meeting with the teachers and advisors and said, what's the problem? Because the kids, they just don't want to lead. They don't want to do anything. They have no school spirit. I said, well, can I meet the leaders? So they gave me the 8 kids at a lunch table. And I said, so what's your title? She says, I'm vice president. I said, oh, wonderful. And what's your title? And they were going around telling me. So I turned to the vice president and said, so next year when you apply to college and you put vice president junior class, that's going to look good. And she said, yeah. I said, and when you put president, I said, you know, if I were reading these, I'd put you in a separate pile. I would look at you and say, you have leadership potential. And they were smiling. I said, I looked at them. I said, you're all frauds. You're all just absolute frauds. And you have no right to be claiming that. And I just called them out on it. And the 8 of them just kind of looked at me and they kind of sat back and sank. And then I spent the next 20 minutes building them up about how they can be leaders and what they can do and why I will help them lobby their principal to have more fun. And so I did turn it around. But that, my years in a school system has taught me how to access these existing avenues that need a focus. So long story short, D is going to be student leaders taking on a leadership role in climate change, we hope. And then E is a big basket for everything else I'm going to teach them to do, how to run school assemblies, how to have lunch meetings at law firms and so on, science cafes. So I put E in there just because there's so many ways to engage the public, and I just want to teach people how to figure it out. And then the TEDx event. Okay, let's just kind of fly through these because I don't want to go on too much longer. So slide number 24. If you wanted to be a CLEO project participant, here's what you'd have to do. You'd have to address that question. What's climate change all about and what's my role? You see the first bullet? They have to acknowledge that some climate scientists agree. They don't have to agree, but they have to know that the majority of scientists agree on this. Access resources, participate in forums as needed, share in writing live or via video, and then take part in supporting initiatives as appropriate. And just from not even selling it yet, I'm looking at about 1,000 signed up already. This could grow fast. So I'm really trying to get the funding in place to hire the staff and the trainers and to coordinate the volunteers to do this right. Slide number 25. I just want you to know that if you get intrigued by any of this and you think I'm nuts, you need to go. This is going to be edited further, but a first draft is up on what the actual assignment is, what we're expecting in responses, how we're going to evaluate them, how we're going to recognize the participants, because you've got to give them pins and certificates and all of that and put them on YouTube. And then how we're going to support the CLEO. Yeah, you have to celebrate them. And then we're going to have a calendar of CLEO project events and initiatives going on. So that's all going to be spelled out better than it is up there now, but very first draft. And slide number 26 just gives you an example of some of the things we tell them for their phase one responses. It's only 3 minutes long or 3 pages. So the last part is what I want. And the reason we kept it brief is we do not want it to be overwhelming. We want it to be something that people see as, oh, I could do that, and want to be a part of the group doing it. So we're going to encourage those who want to go on a bit more and really share their responses to work on a phase two forum presentation and training with us. So 26 is just loaded, but it's to give you an idea that we are kind of spelling out. And we will refine this as we get feedback. Because when people say, well, what do you mean by this? And then we clarify as we go along. So we're giving them a nice big stage right now. So if you look at slide 27, we remind them that it might take a long time, but they're turning in something short, 3 pages or 3 minutes. And we're telling them how to submit it. And these parameters, again, they will be edited as people start telling me what would be better than what we have there. So it's a starting point. And then slide number 28, if you think about the question, you're going to get some very, very poor answers, some very lame, very surface answers. But you're going to get people who really own this in a way that covers every aspect of Bloom's taxonomy and could lead to something for self-directed learning, and especially if they tap or decide to help us host these workshops and cafes and forums. There's no limit to how many retakes you can, and we're only going to score it on accuracy and adherence to the guidelines. Because if they don't answer both parts of the question, they're going to get sent back. So guidelines, it just means stay on topic. We might even create a raffle entry for everybody who's submitted. We're trying to get some prizes that are earth-sensitive right now. And then we're going to showcase the most effective and creative ones, publish them on the website, put them up on YouTube, and so on. Slide number 29 just gives you a little taste of the phase two. These are the participants who want to do more, and they will attend training workshops in HAL. Dr. Wanless is creating those now. We're going to create a four-day workshop for people who want to host, and a two-day workshop for those who are willing to co-host, just to have layers of accessibility. And we're hoping that after 3 years, we have 5,000 people who are task force members and are holding little, they don't have to be big forums, like the youth task force. They will do their soccer club or their swim team or whatever they're on. So if you look at slide 30, in summary, we're trying to get widespread opportunities to engage at the onset. We're having them personalize the project question. We're going to give them the phase two, how to create safe speaking forums and lots of climate change resources. In my lifetime, I have seen when you give people a challenge and a lot of access to good information, the self-directed learning is intense. And I was telling, I think, Scott the other day, I gave the Youth Task Force this summer like 8 pages of web resources I've been culling from you all. I said, no, just pick some that you think would belong on the website for the CLEO project. And they spent, one of them spent 85 hours looking at all the websites. You know, this is not, I did not ask them to do that, but it's so, they get so deep into this information, and it's videotapes and everything else that they fall for. And I think if we engage them and have them find their voice, then they'll talk about it more, improve communication. I just put that butterfly in for slide number 31 because I needed some relief of color. But it also leads into partnerships, and that's a nice synergy between the butterfly and the flower. So slide number 32, and I am wrapping up. It's colleges, universities, districts, everybody. We have, I'm on the board of the American Public Garden Association, and I'm going to try and roll this out for a model for public gardens to work on. And the public garden will re-sign an MOU with NOAA, and I have Tammy Houston on here, to sort of amplify climate change through public gardens. So we're working on some strategies there. And, you know, Tammy's helping me with ideas and the best NOAA sources. And I also have a outfit out in California, in L.A., that I'm going to meet with next month, who might be interested in rolling out a CLEO project there. And Chicago is a little bit interested. So the idea is that if I can figure out how to teach, how to create this as a model, and anybody could take on the question, if you keep it simple, I mean, all of you could take it on. You could sign up as a CLN group and send me your responses. I'd have fun giving a few of you a redo. Sorry. But I don't think I would, but you never know. So slide number 33. I think a lot of you know Andrew Revkin and Randy Olson, and these people, you know, they remind us that communication is part science, part art, and we need to really speak to the non-cerebral public. And a lot of my work with scientists, I was kind of becoming like a scientist whisperer, telling them, you're losing me, I'm glazing over, and having them tell their stories to lead people in compelling ways. And forcing you down to 3 minutes is not a bad exercise for everybody to be able to have an elevator pitch conversation going on, a family dinner conversation. Because right now, when I ask my daughters, so what do you think climate change is all about? They go, oh, I don't know. So I'm making them do this so they have an articulated message. They can refine that all they want down the road, but they got to have something to tell me now, and not just say it's a big deal, my mother is crazy about it, you know. Slide number 34 are just some of the sites the kids pick to put on our web resources, all the literacy guides, which just makes so much sense. web resources and videos that they like, the human population ones. And slide number 38 is the big dream. We want to merge everybody's efforts and energies. And then slide number 39, we leave you with Charles Darwin's words of wisdom. And that's it for me. So I'll take questions, comments, feedback, and thoughts if you all have a minute. And if you have to run, I understand.
Well, thanks, Caroline. Are there any questions?
Yeah, Caroline, I was trying to get a handle on, part of me was thinking scale, Florida, and then I saw the national, international groups, and I'm going, oh, scale, big. So I'm kind of interested in how you're going to manage all those different scales.
So the idea is I will create a template for California to say, okay, if you're doing the CLEO project, you want to encourage people to join phase one and then to move into phase two and to plan a phase three. So I would give them the protocols to do it. I would, you know, we hope to have a consulting team. I have about 7 or 8 scientists and educators who kind of want to revolve with me. So it might be that we bring people to Miami to train to launch a CLEO project at their site, or have them just start somewhere and just start participating with the Miami or South Florida version and then develop it for themselves. The idea is you got to have money to throw the party. You got to have science cafes. I mean, the young professionals are all over this because we're going to have cocktails in the garden. My offices at the CLEO Institute are now based at Pinecrest Gardens. And the mayor of Pinecrest has just embraced all of this and wants to be the mayor that rolls us out to other cities around the country. So what we're trying to do is to create a package for this model in the most simple way so that you can start with phase one and then, you know, embellish it as we go. It's going to be a work in progress, and I'm going to be working out kinks and narrowing things down as it happens. But
right.
I find it works best when you jump into it and get lots of people helping you frame it than if you try to frame it beautifully and just put it out there, you know. So, and I'm out of time. I got to get this out there. I have to get this conversation going. So, but do you see the simplicity of those 3 minutes, 3 pages? It really is doable. Now, what would make them want to do it is belonging to a club, at numbers, of getting published, of maybe being selected for the TEDx conference, of participation. The students are going to get community service hours. So we're going to create all of this. So they're asking me, well, should we get action items like having kids plant trees and so on? I said, no. We want them to join all the green initiatives happening in South Florida. We want to begin every forum we have with a showcase of what people are doing for sustainability in their communities. Because I don't want to become Urban Paradise Guild and Operation Greenleaf and all these great things that are happening. I want kids and adults to join these existing things. So the partnerships are all the environmental organizations here on the ground that I will feed CLEO project participants to who want to concretely contribute to sustainability in their local areas. The Urban Paradise Guild of Miami has signed on to be our first group of CLEO project participants, and they do habitat and garden restoration and community gardening. That's their complete purpose. So anybody at the CLEO project that wants to contribute to that is going to be fed into that. So we're feeding the good programs, the programs that need more attention and more focus anyway, and I have no plan of creating a separate...
So, Caroline, I like the model of the of enhancing what already exists. It's one of the aspects of the regional model, like for Clean New England, I had envisioned. And we have one university of Massachusetts Lowell, who had with funding they developed a climate change education course. But one of the things that was really interesting about it is they had Randy Olson run a workshop, and one the last part of the course was about communicating climate change. And one of the things that was really interesting about it was, again, they had to make it short. They were even more restrictive. Theirs was restricted to 60 seconds, a public service announcement. But the students learned a tremendous amount by trying to take their larger message and saying, how can I communicate this effectively in 60 seconds?
Exactly.
And they struggled for that, and they had 2.5 days to create this video, this 1-minute video. And they really struggled, and really they learned a tremendous amount by honing their message down to what the essentials were to communicate it effectively. So I think the shortness of it really forces students and anybody to focus and really understand what they're trying to get across much better.
I agree with you. I think 1 minute is harder than 3 minutes, to tell you the truth, and the public service announcements are going to be part of the communication contest in the supporting initiative.
Mm-hmm.
So they are going to get PSA entries and so on to try.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, you could take on the CLEO project and you've got still 3 minutes. You can do it in 60 seconds or 10 seconds if you wish. You just have to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing about my role, you know, and I practiced this with my kids, and they were pretty cool. They had a few of their friends over. And one of them said, well, not meaning to be rude, Mrs. Lewis, but what are you doing? You little devil. So I said, well, I'm not driving a hybrid because I can't afford one right now, but if I can, I would. So I think I've reflected on this, and here's what I think my three roles are in climate change right now. One is to be an informed consumer and to steep myself in information so that what I purchase, where I purchase it from, and how much of it I purchase is conscious and as sustainable as I can have it. That's one thing. The second thing I could do is to hold my elected officials accountable. That means I need to vote. That means I have to have my county commissioners, I need to have my state senators, my congressmen on speed dial and on email for me, and I do. I'm very active on that. And the third thing is, as an educator and a strategist, I have to create opportunities to engage people on this, because that's what I do for a living. And they felt a lot better about that. So I think almost what I'm hoping is that this project gives them some control over how they talk about climate change on a personal level and what they think their role in all of this is. Because it cannot retrofit my house right now. And if you start preaching to people about, well, you must do that. Truly, if we can get people to do the things I just mentioned, for example, I'd be in heaven. But I want people to come up with it themselves. And we're going to put the answers out there so we could borrow from each other. We're not going to get people coming up with 100,000 unique responses to this, but I don't care. I just want them to own it. And we have a spot check method in there so that everybody who enters it will get evaluated. But we're going to spot check that it is you and you know what you talked about by making phone calls and interviewing some of them on a random basis just to keep the dishonest ones at bay a little bit, you know. But I don't really care about that so much. I just care about lots of people thinking about it on a personal level.
Well, that's great. So you said that what did you just launch today? You launched the institute today, or the website, or
no? The institute's been it's about a year and a half old. The CLEO project parameters and guidelines are just getting out, and we put the initial draft on the website in the last 24 hours just to make sure I could speak to you all and you all could see it for what it is and where it might be going. And that's going to get more streamlined over the next couple of weeks. We have a big launch forum on November 5th with the board. My board is going to be there and the mayor. You're all invited. You need to come to Miami. Saturday, November 5th at 10 a.m. And Hal is going to do, Dr. Wanless is going to do a 45-minute slide presentation on sea level rise in Miami at the end of that launch. So, and his presentations are stunningly depressing. I mean, you're stunning and depressing. You either want to curl up in a corner and die, or you get fire in your belly. So we're hoping they all get fire in their belly. So, Scott, is this what you pictured this was going to be? Don't want to put you on the spot, Scott. But
Scott, you're still there?
He's not there. He took a break. All right, well, think about it. I would love all of you to take on the CLEO project question. I will welcome your entries by video or in writing. And I think we could have some fun with this. At the very least, I'll try.
Very good. Well, hopefully everybody will think about it.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, Caroline.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.